Good evening, everybody. We want to start. Yeah, unbelievable. Ki Tavo, Parashat Ki Tavo. When you will come to the land of Israel, which I gave you, what is the first thing you have to do? You're going to bring Bikurim. Mitzvat Bikurim. You know Mitzvat Bikurim, what it is? What is Bikurim?
First fruit.
First fruit.
But not all the fruits.
No, only the seven spices that we, our Eretz Yisrael is blessed with.
Yeah.
Now, we want to understand, first of all, what it's all about. And if, as always, must be a connection between the Parsha and what's happening now, here in real life. So last Parsha, we were Kitetze, when you go out on war, and we explain that the war that we're talking about is the war against Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Now it's Ki Tavo, because some people think that what we do in life is fight the Yetzer Hara. The fight against Yetzer Hara is only the mean to get to the target, which get closer to God and love God. And we have to understand and realize. In other words, okay, we fight Yetzer Hara, but that's not why we're here. The fight has to bring us somewhere. Ki Tavo el Haaretz. When you come to the land of Israel, or when you come into the new year, what do you come with? You cannot come empty-handed. You have to come with Bikurim. Reshit Pri Adama. What is the idea behind? We all know it, but we have to say it again and again. It's like Silat Yesharim, Chabad Dorot, he writes in the beginning of his book that he writes about, let's say, trivial things. Everybody knows what I'm writing about, but we should remember it all the time. And I'm not writing it only for you, I'm writing also for me, because I want to go through it all the time, so I remember all the things I have to do. Through life, we are unfortunately in this world going afar, we have a lot of duties to do and this and that, and sometimes we forget what we're doing here. So you have to remember. And Mitzvat Bikurim is one of the basics of what are we doing in this world. So this guy puts a seed in earth, waters it, works on it, waits for something to grow, and when it grows, he nurtures it, he waters it, he cuts it. And you know how long it takes, for example, for a fruit tree to grow?
Years.
It's not 2 days, and it's not a month. It takes years. And after those years, see, Baruch Hashem, he sees the first fruit. What would you want to do now when you see the first fruit, after all the efforts you put into it, what would you like to do?
Taste it.
Taste it. What do you do instead?
Give it to God.
You cover it. This is dedicated to God. This is love. When you love somebody, you want to give him everything. And you want to show him the love. The first thing you think about who? About the one you love. Parents sometimes don't think about themselves. The first thing they think is about their children. God also thinks first of us. And we have to show him how we love him. So the best mitzvah that we can show God how we love him is Bikurim. What is Bikurim really today? I haven't got a fruit tree in my yard. Sorry to tell you. I don't know how many have. So, there is no temple also. So I've got no place to bring Bikurim, even if I had a tree. So what's the idea of Bikurim today? The first thing you do is for God. That's Bikurim. You wake up in the morning, you say, Mode ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam, she'chazart b'nishma. First of all, I thank God for the new day. And it's very important to understand that if you wake up in the morning and do something else, that's the way your day is going to look. When you start with the right foot, as we say, when you start with the right thing, the whole day looks different. This is why, you know, this guy came to the rabbi and asked him, you know, every time I daven, I've got strange thoughts, especially on Shmoneh Esrei. I think on so many things, I cannot concentrate. So the rabbi, who knew who he's dealing with, tells him, you see, if you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, say Modeh Ani, wash your hands and run to shul to daven, and then you have strange thoughts, those are strange thoughts. But if you wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning and go down and have a coffee, read the paper, and then go slowly to shul, and on the way you talk with all the friends you meet, when you come to shul and think about something else than davening or Shmoneh Esrei, those are not strange thoughts. Those are your thoughts. The strange thing here is davening. In other words, what is your priorities? What do you put first? That's Bikurim. First, I put God. Then, all the other stuff. So, this is exactly the Bikurim. So, especially now, when we are on Chodesh Elul, and we really, in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Yes, less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks.
No, less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks from Sunday. Let's Sunday.
From the Sunday.
In my days from cooking, yeah. Is less than 2 weeks.
1.5 weeks, okay?
Yes.
1.5 weeks. So it's even closer. So we have to take ourselves in our hands and start doing things. Now, when we think about the first thing is God, how do we really do it in the right way? And it's very simple, by the way. Anything you do through the day, especially now, I'm talking about now, because now is the time that we show God our love more than any other time. And it's also very easy now, because God is very close to us. And you can feel it if you try. It's very easy now in this time to do things, mitzvahs or other things, that normally through the year, it's much harder. Try it and you see. Now, let's try and put God in our thoughts. You know, whatever I do, would God like or love what I'm doing now? Or not? If He loves what I'm doing, of course do it. If He doesn't love, don't do it. And I'm talking specific on the time now we stand, because I'm not expecting us to be tzaddikim and really think the whole day about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not so simple. We have our, let's say, our routine, and we get used to things, and we don't always think about God. But let's try. At least, before we do something, the first thought, God. Let's be cool. It's a very important mitzvah. This mitzvah, when you see the Rambam writes a sefer of halachos. But when he gets to the mitzvah of Bikurim, he's got this whole story about how you do Bikurim. And it goes on and on. How all the people are gathering together to the central town of the area. And then they sleep outside, so there won't happen something that somebody dies in the night. And then they will be not impure because of the tum'at met. So they don't stay the night in tents, but really outside. And then they all go in a one big parade to Jerusalem. And everything is covered with the flowers and things. And really, and when they get to Jerusalem, they say certain things. And then when they go in, the people of Jerusalem come to welcome them. They go outside to welcome them. And then when they go through the streets of Jerusalem, all the people stop working. And you know, the halacha says, if you have a job, you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the day, even sometimes to daven properly. Why? Because this is gezel, this is stealing. You have a boss, the boss is paying you for your time, you have to use the time to work, that's it. But here in Mitzvat Bikurim, says the Rambam, halacha, you stop working, everybody stops working. And all this description about how it's happening and all this beautiful story is showing us how important this mitzvah is. That's about mitzvat bikurim. Now, when we go on in our parsha, we have the blessing and the curse, which we talked about it last week, I think, in Ha-Grizim and Ha-Reval. In our parsha, it's written. But the interesting thing is, the blessing here are not written, only the curses. On Kazayin, what is this? Kazayin. I think it's Kazayin. And they're telling us how half of the tribe standing on this mountain, the half on the other mountain, and then. Arura ish kaf zayin the perek and pasuk. What pasuk is it?
Devav.
Okay. Arura ish asher yase pesel umasecha. Arur makle avivimo. Arur arur. Curse 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 is the one who's going to do this. Curse is the one who's going to do this. Now you try and look now and tell me if you see the blessing. Well, show me. I'm talking the blessing of the other side of the mountain.
No, no, but
you have the two mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
There's blessing one side and they're cursing other side. So say, show me the blessing.
Just a minute. I'll show you.
Only Maujit.
Do you see anything? Okay, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You won't find it.
No,
okay.
I
didn't.
This?
You won't find it.
No, because.
So the question is, why?
I
you know,
blessing.
Blessing is a good thing, and the Torah is a good thing, and God is loving and loves us. And why is God telling us only the curses? Why is the Parsha writing only the curses, and the blessing are not even written?
Because the blessings are written.
Where? Not written. I'm asking, why is it not written? You have to understand, the blessings are exactly the opposite of the curses. So in other words, we could write the blessing and we would realize that the opposite is the curse. So I'm asking you, why is it the other way around?
I like before the bad news, and then I like the good news.
You hear?
After.
You hear? So that's what you do? You tell the first of the bad news, and then the good news. Okay.
I like the good news.
Okay. This is a very interesting point. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. But see, something very interesting. What are really the curses? What does it say? If you do this, you're going to be cursed. Okay? If you do this, look at it. Everything is about something you're doing. In other words, if I don't do it,
you won't be blessed.
You will be blessed. Not only not be cursed, you will be blessed. And that's exactly the point, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Look how God loves us. In other words, the only thing you have to do, not only not to be cursed, but to be blessed, what is the only thing you have to do? Don't do. Unbelievable. This is a great blessing. But if I will write, blesses this, I won't see it. So the Torah is writing only the curses. And it's saying very specifically, if you do this, and if you do this, in other words, if you don't do it, you are blessed.
What? Look at what you do, if you do it, I mean. Look at those things. Nasty.
No, yes, okay. No. But now I want.
How important your fellow man is to you, or woman. One in a lot of
Then we have blessing. Then we have blessing if we do what God wants us to do. Then we will get blessed. Beautiful blessing. And then we have all list of terrible things that are going to happen to us if we don't do what God wants us to do. And at the end of those things,
that's
what I'm saying. Because somebody, if you read it,
so, I mean,
if you go through it, you get frightened. You really get frightened.
Wouldn't do it. I mean, that's something that normal people probably wouldn't do, even slightly abnormal people. To sleep with your father's wife.
Is that his mother or is that his second wife? But you know, in the poor, not Jews, but in the poor people from the coin, they do this.
There's no.
My granddaughter threw something for the other granddaughter, and I was in need.
Do you have insurance?
She called me today and asked, "Bobby, how is your?"
Oh,
and that's
quite a bit.
You
didn't put any ice.
I put a lot of ice. It was like this.
Oh my God. What is this? Why do you keep it?
These things from the pool, you know this, like, maquillage?
See this here, cuff head?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Number three.
She knows. Yes. I was standing in the water and she... No, she threw to the other two.
It's again.
Baby, clear. I was in the middle.
I'm just saying. I didn't take a camping.
The
people
was so strong.
Here, Pasuk. We have all list, and then it's written, Vaya Becha Leot, Pasuk. Tell me what Pasuk it is here. Perek Kafchet, Pasuk. How to see?
Mem Zayin.
Mem Zayin. Pasuk Mem Zayin.
Mem Zayin.
Mem Zayin.
47.
Perek Chavchet?
Yes.
Okay.
Tachat.
Perek Chavchet?
Perek Kaf.
Kaf.
Tachat asher lo avadeta. את השם אלוקיך בשמחה ובטוב לבב מרוב כל.
Because you did not serve Hashem.
My husband did like this.
Got it?
I'm not sure. 47.
תחת אשר לא עבדת את השם אלוקיך בשמחה ובטוב לבב. The Torah is telling us something very strange. What do I mean? All those curses that we are being told that is going to happen if we don't listen to God, and then tells us if we do the things and don't do it happy, joyful, we are going to be cursed. And the question is, what does it mean? If somebody keeps all the mitzvahs, but is doing it, is not happy about it, let's put it this way, but he's doing the mitzvahs, is he going to be cursed? Is he going to be doomed? Why? Okay. So he has
so
to be
not
cursed?
You.
Not only this, after you listen to all the curses, you cannot be happy. You have to be afraid.
Yeah, but what is the idea behind it? Why is the Torah telling us...
You love God.
Okay, so why is the Torah telling us...
You must do it with love.
And if you don't do it with love?
Then it's you're not being honest to you.
So...
So then, it's like
what is really what is worse? Not doing any mitzvah or doing a mitzvah?
Going
through
the motions. According to this, is even going through the motions and not meaning it is meaningless.
So,
you'll be punished.
So you need to. Well,
that's like going to shul.
That's why you keep on repeating.
So if somebody goes to shul, if somebody's going to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and he's not very happy about it, and he's doing it as a routine, or he's doing it as a duty, he's not happy. So, what's going to happen with this prayer? Are they going to go up or not?
Of course.
Is God going to listen to him or not?
He's lacking.
Is he going to be blessed or is he going to be cursed?
It's a good question, because we are not in the position to judge. We don't know.
Well, here it's written very clearly. It's written very clearly here. If you do this without joy, you're going to be punished. In other words, you go and sit the whole day in Rosh Hashanah in shul, daven, and do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, but it's
and
not, but it's not black and white.
I'm not talking about black and white. I'm asking why.
Yeah, but there are maybe half of the maybe part of the tefillah he will do it with joy. Maybe not.
No, the question is
completely in happy.
The question is, what is the Torah trying to tell us?
We do it, first of all, bringing it down to our level. We do it with our wives. They take care of us, they do so much for us, but we don't show enough gratitude. We show gratitude, but not enough. So if you bring it up to the level of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. If you're going to do something for Kadosh Baruch Hu because of his importance, you've got to do it just the same as you dress for a king. You don't go into the king with shorts unless you're a member of our show. But otherwise you dress properly.
When it comes out of shul and you criticize how the cousin is saying, my goodness, you done it too fast. And, I mean, sure. What is that about?
That's our show.
Do you get kudos for going?
Listen to what the pasuk is telling us. Tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem Elokecha besimcha. You didn't worship God and did the job joyfully. Mituv levav, from the good of your heart. Merov kol. What is merov kol? So I had from all the things I've got from God. Merov kol. Like I've got everything from God. And we all know that in life, there are things that we enjoy, and there are things that we don't enjoy.
This is what Denise says.
So how is the Torah demanding us to be joyful all the time?
That's why the Ayam HaMechan, the everything's
Mechan. No, the Hasidim. Okay. The idea here is very simple. If we realize what we are doing in this world, we will understand that we have to do everything joyful. In other words, we have to be happy all the time. Mitzvah idola liyot besimcha tamid. I know. But the idea is to understand and realize, first of all, what is the meaning of this world? And the more we will understand it, the more happy we will be. For example, if we know that we drink this cup of tea and we get $1 million, we of course will drink this cup of tea very happy. And if instead of tea, instead of tea, there is something very bitter,
like whiskey.
No, something you don't want to drink.
Then we will be more happy.
Let's say, I don't know if you try to drink spoiled milk. Did you try to drink sometimes or like bad milk? Did you try? It tastes very good, huh? Tastes very good. Okay, so I'll tell you, it's not yogurt, but believe me, it's worse. Yogurt is good. Now, I tell you to drink this ichsa thing, this ugly thing, and I tell you, you're going to get $2 million. Are you going to drink it?
No.
No? No. $2 million?
You cannot be right.
Okay, $10 million. $10 million.
Definitely.
Will you drink it?
I'll do it for the $2 million.
I do it for
now,
one, okay?
While you're doing it, are you going to be happy or sad?
Happy, sad.
Delirious.
You're going to get a few million dollars. Of course you're going to be happy.
In the time you drink it, you will not be happy. But
no,
after, maybe, yes.
You will be happy. Happy, let's understand what is being happy. Happy doesn't mean I'm smiling. You know, a lot of people smile and they're really very sad inside. Happy is something from inside. So if I know, if I do something and I get such a big reward afterwards, I'm going to be happy about doing it. Of course. It's not only worth effort. You know, when we were now in the Dolomites in Italy, you see all those people, they're going on bicycle, not electric bicycle, okay? They're going on real bicycle, and they're going on those hills, you know, and it's miles on miles on miles, and it's going up. And I saw this, I think, guy, he was around 70, 75, you know, if not more, and kids, and everybody's doing this. And you think to yourself, why do they do this?
Because of the satisfaction of getting life.
Do they enjoy it? Are they happy about it?
Not really.
Why not? When he gets to the top, is he happy about it or not?
Of course.
Okay.
Did you ever see anybody running? Well, they can't.
First of all, yes, I did. But you see, that's the problem. This is problem. As I'm saying, it's not. Happiness is a state of mind. It's not like he's smiling. Smiling is something else. But being happy about something is that I know that this is satisfaction. I know that I'm going to get a lot of satisfaction, so I'm happy about it. I'm going to get so much. In other words, if we will realize what we are getting on each mitzvah we do, how can we do it not being happy? We must be stupid not being happy. And that's what the Torah is trying to tell us. If you do the mitzvahs as a duty, not understanding the reward is what is waiting for you, what are you doing?
But if you take a glass of water and you make a broker,
yes,
then you're happy because the mitzvah is done.
Of course.
And you get satisfaction. You
quench yourself. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. That even if it's not a glass of water,
Every mitzvah you do must be.
Exactly. Every mitzvah is something to be happy about.
Thank God that I can do this mitzvah.
Exactly. And that's what God is telling us. Mm-hmm. You can do all the mitzvahs. But if you do them with no cheshek, with being sad, like a duty that you have to do, and you're not happy about it. So it's like, the idea is loving. Loving God. Loving you, everybody. In other words, if I love somebody, and I have to do something for him, I'm happy about it, that I can help him, that I can do something for him. And even sometimes, if it's hard, I'm still happy about it, that I have the ability to do it. And I'm grateful to God that I have the power to do it. It's the way you look at life. How do you look at life? How do you look at things? If you look at things as a duty, as this guy was sitting near me in shul with his son, and after finishing davening, he says, okay, we can put a V on this. And that's exactly what the Pasuk is telling us. If you do the mitzvahs like this, Don't do that. God doesn't want a mitzvah like this. God wants you to understand what you're doing. God wants you to understand that He loves you. You know, it's very interesting. I just learned a few days ago. I talked about this week also. We're talking about this world was created for the neshama. Why? The neshama was ashamed to get rewarded for doing nothing. As we also sometimes, we don't like people giving us things like we are a charity case. We want to do something for it, to earn it. And the neshama, of course, wanted it. So God created this whole world for the neshama to come down, put it in a body. Okay, now